Attention, attention. This is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 56 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify, and podcast.de, with a social media presence on Blue Sky and Instagram. Note for Spotify users, you can find the latest episodes on Spotify. For all episodes since the beginning, please visit podcast.de and YouTube.
The topic of this episode.
Imagine this. It's the mid-1960s in the air over the jungles of Vietnam. The skies are dominated by supersonic jets, American F-4 Phantoms and Soviet MiG-21s. And right in the middle of it all, an aircraft that, with its massive propeller and roaring radial engine, looks as if it's come straight out of World War II. This is the A-1 Skyraider, nicknamed SPAD or Able Dog. It was developed while World War II was still raging, but its career came as a tough cold warrior in Korea and above all in Vietnam. How could this anachronistic ground attack aircraft not only hold its own against jets, but even surpass them in its close air support role? The answer lies in three strengths: a weapons payload that rivaled a heavy bomber of World War II, armor that made it capable of withstanding an incredible amount of enemy fire, and endurance that allowed it to hover over the battlefield for up to 10 hours at a time. Let's take a look at the remarkable history of an aircraft that outlived its time.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
I use a mix of online sources as well as the book Combat Aircraft of Today from Neuer Kaiser Verlag in Klagenfurt. The Skyraider was developed as a successor to carrier-based bombers such as the SB-2C Helldiver and the TBM Avenger. The prototype, designated XBT-2D-1, easy catchy name, right? First flew on March 18, 1945, shortly before the end of World War II. Production began that same year, and in December 1946, the first squadron of the US Navy was equipped with the aircraft, now designated AD-1. US pilots nicknamed the Skyraider Able Dog after the AD designation. Throughout the 1940s and 50s, the Skyraider underwent continuous improvements. These improvements focused primarily on the engine and the ability to carry more and different weapons. Some variants were also used for airspace surveillance and were equipped with radar. Other variants were configured with two or even three seats. Let's take a look at the technical specifications of the last variant built in large numbers, the AD-6 or A-1H. The Skyraider was a fairly large, single-engine aircraft. Its maximum takeoff weight was over 11 tons. It was powered by a 2,700 horsepower radial engine driving a very large four-bladed propeller. Its top speed was a leisurely 518 kilometers per hour or 322 miles per hour, while its cruising speed was considerably lower, at only 319 kilometers per hour or 198 miles per hour. Its range was 2,118 kilometers or 1,316 miles, with a service ceiling of 8,700 meters. The A-1 was armed with four 20mm cannons. It could carry up to 3.6 tons of ordnance on a total of 15 external pylons. This was roughly the same amount carried by the B-17 Flying Fortress on typical short-range missions during World War II. The Skyraiders could deploy virtually anything the US Air Force had in its arsenal at the time. Bombs, torpedoes, mines, rockets, additional cannons, napalm canisters, etc. One version, the AD-4B, could even carry nuclear weapons. Regarding the naming convention, the following must be noted. In 1962, the US Armed Forces introduced a new standardized naming system for their aircraft. Prior to this, the Skyraider's name included the abbreviation AD, followed by a version number, for example AD-6. Afterward, it became the A-1 Skyraider, with a letter indicating the version, for example A-1H. Unlike other fighter bombers of its time, the A-1 was optimized for extended flight duration over its target. It could remain airborne for up to 10 hours continuously. It also featured armor plating to protect against ground fire. Although the A-1 was developed for the US Navy, the US Air Force and the US Marine Corps later also used it as a ground attack aircraft. The A-1 saw its baptism of fire in the Korean War from 1950 to 53. There it served alongside other propeller-driven aircraft, such as the P-51 Mustang and the F-4U Corsair, which, after serving as fighters in World War II, were now also deployed as fighter bombers. At the same time, however, the skies were dominated by the first jet fighters, such as the P-80 Shooting Star, the F-86 Sabre and the MiG-15. The Sky Raider could carry significantly more weapons than the other Western fighter bombers and remain in the operational area for considerably longer periods. While fast fighter bombers, such as the F-84 Thunderjet, appeared quickly, dropped their bombs and disappeared just as fast, the Sky Raiders could stay aloft for hours, waiting for a distress call from the ground troops. The Sky Raiders could therefore be used with pinpoint accuracy and great efficiency as ground attack aircraft. To make these Sky Raiders even more bulletproof, the US Marine Corps retrofitted armor plates half an inch thick, meaning 12.7 millimeters, to the underside of the aircraft. In May 1951, 8 US Navy A-1 Sky Raiders carried out a torpedo attack on the Hwacheon Dam, then held by North Korean and Chinese forces. The North Koreans regularly flooded the areas behind the dam to hamper UN forces and simultaneously used it as a power source. After ground attacks and conventional airstrikes failed, Sky Raiders armed with Type 13 torpedoes were deployed. These torpedoes had a 600-pound warhead, and the goal was to damage the dam so severely that it could no longer be used as a flooding weapon or power source. 6 of the 8 torpedoes hit the dam, and the mission objective was achieved. In June 1953, a US Marine Corps Sky Raider achieved the only aerial victory of a Sky Raider in the Korean War by shooting down a North Korean Polikarpov Po-2. In addition to standard air raids, Sky Raiders also flew night raids and radar jamming missions. Depending on the source, up to 200 Navy and Marine Corps Sky Raiders were lost over Korea. They flew approximately 250,000 sorties and dropped around 120,000 tons of bombs over Korea. In July 1954, a civilian Cathay Pacific Airways DC-4 was shot down over the South China Sea by Chinese La-11 fighter planes. The official Chinese statement was that the downing was a mistake and that the aircraft had been mistaken for a Taiwanese plane. The rescue operation was supported by carrier-based aircraft of the US Navy. Sky Raiders from the aircraft carriers USS Philippine Sea and USS Hornet shot down 2 Chinese La-11s near the crash site 3 days later. Sky Raiders were deployed throughout the 1950s wherever US aircraft carriers were stationed, including in the Mediterranean, Southeast Asia, and the Caribbean during the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962. By 1955, 42 squadrons of the US Navy and US Marine Corps were equipped with Sky Raiders, a number that would never be higher. Sky Raider production ended in 1957, by which time 3,180 had been built. The plan was to eventually replace the Sky Raider with the new A-6 Intruder jet fighter bomber. However, priority was given to re-equipping squadrons on the large supercarriers, while the smaller World War II era carriers initially retained their older propeller-driven aircraft known as SPATs. As the US became increasingly involved in the Vietnam War in 1964, the A-1 was still the primary attack platform of the US Navy. The US Air Force Special Operations Command also used the A-1 for its missions, while the US Marine Corps had already retired its Sky Raiders. The A-1 benefited from the fact that in the late 1950s and early 1960s, the US Air Force had focused primarily on fast nuclear-armed jets that could have been used in the event of a Third World War against the Soviet Union. Combat aircraft for conventional warfare were somewhat neglected, particularly in the role of a ground attack aircraft or counterinsurgency aircraft, COIN. The US Air Force had virtually no choice. None of the jets in service could fulfill this role, and other propeller-driven aircraft, like the T-28 Trojan and the B-26 Invader, could not match the capabilities of the A-1 Skyraider. The Skyraiders were already involved in the first attack by US forces in Vietnam in August 1964. Over Vietnam, the Skyraider benefited even more from its strength than over Korea. Its long endurance and large weapons payload gave it a completely different operational profile compared to the US Air Force's fast jet fighter bombers. While aircraft like the A-4 Skyhawk and the F-105 Thunder Chief were significantly faster and more modern, their flight characteristics prevented them from remaining over a battlefield for hours and being deployed at the request of ground troops. Only the Skyraider could do that. The most famous missions in Vietnam were carried out by Air Force Skyraiders under the codename Sandy, providing armed escort for rescue helicopters. Unescorted helicopters were too vulnerable over Vietnam, and jets couldn't adequately accompany and protect the slow-moving helicopters. The Skyraiders, on the other hand, were slow enough and sufficiently armed to perform these missions. In doing so, they once again proved remarkably resilient to ground fire. On June 20, 1965, an aerial battle took place between US Navy Skyraiders and North Vietnamese MiG-17s. Pilots Lieutenant Charlie Hartman and Lieutenant Clinton Johnson together managed to shoot down a MiG-17. On October 9, 1966, Lieutenant Junior Grade William Patton, another Navy pilot, repeated this success. The Skyraiders are therefore among the few propeller-driven aircraft to have successfully shot down jets in aerial combat. On March 10, 1966, during a mission in the Aisho Valley, one of six A-1s was hit by enemy fire and forced to make an emergency landing. One of the pilots, Bernard F. Fisher, landed his A-1 and rescued his comrade. For this act, he was awarded the Medal of Honor. Despite their advancing age and almost anachronistic appearance, in the age of the B-52 Stratofortress, F-4 Phantom and MiG-21, the Skyraiders remained in service throughout the Vietnam War. The US Navy used its A-1s for airstrikes until 1968 and for electronic warfare until 1969. The US Air Force, on the other hand, fought with the Skyraiders until 1972, suffering dramatic losses in the final years due to the increasing use of Strela man-portable ground-to-air missiles. The US Air Force lost 266 A-1s over Vietnam. The South Vietnamese Air Force received American Skyraiders starting in 1960 and flew them on its own missions over Vietnam. When the US gradually withdrew from Vietnam, beginning in 1972, it transferred all Skyraiders located in Southeast Asia to the South Vietnamese Air Force. Unlike their US counterparts, the South Vietnamese pilots served not just for 12 months, but throughout the entire war, making them by far the most experienced A-1 Skyraider pilots in the world by the end. South Vietnamese Skyraiders remained in service until the end of the war in 1975. Shortly before the war's end, during Operation Frequent Wind on April 29th and 30th, 1975, when Americans and allied South Vietnamese troops were evacuated just before the fall of Saigon, South Vietnamese Skyraiders carried out final attacks against advancing North Vietnamese troops, serving more or less side by side with F-14 Tomcats from the aircraft carrier USS Enterprise, which were flying their very first combat missions. A stark contrast between two generations of aircraft. South Vietnam lost over 200 Skyraiders in total. During the war and afterwards, North Vietnamese units captured some South Vietnamese A-1 Skyraiders and used them themselves. Other South Vietnamese Skyraiders evacuated to Thailand. Skyraiders also saw service elsewhere in the world. During the 1950s, Great Britain operated 50 Skyraiders equipped with radar for airspace surveillance. Sweden used disarmed Skyraiders for aerial target practice from 1962 to 1976. France purchased over 100 used US Navy Skyraiders during the 1950s and deployed them in the Algerian War. They are considered the best ground attack aircraft of that war. French Skyraiders remained in service until the 1970s, seeing action in the Chadian Civil War and elsewhere in Africa. The French then transferred the Skyraiders to their allies in Cambodia, Gabon, Chad, and the Central African Republic. These aircraft were often subsequently flown by French mercenaries. The last Skyraiders were retired from service with the Gabonese Air Force in 1985. Since then, some have been bought back and restored by warbird enthusiasts for civilian use. Airworthy Skyraiders still exist today, and their sheer size makes them popular participants in classic air shows. I myself have had the privilege of seeing Skyraiders fly at such air shows on several occasions. Static examples can be viewed in museums in the USA, Great Britain, Thailand, Sweden, France, and Vietnam. The A1 Skyraider has been immortalized in films such as The Bridges at Tokori, Flight of the Intruder, and We Were Soldiers.
A few finishing words.
The A1 Skyraider was taken out of production in 1957, but its story didn't end until 1985 in Africa, when the last aircraft were retired in Gabon. It left behind an unforgettable legacy. It was the aircraft designed as a carrier-based fighter bomber for World War II, and in the supersonic jet era became the ultimate ground attack aircraft. The experience gained with the A1, its strength in endurance and payload, flowed directly into the development of modern ground attack aircraft, most notably the A-10 Thunderbolt II, and here we are coming full circle. When the A-10 Thunderbolt II, the Skyraider's conceptual successor, was slated to be replaced by the F-35 Lightning, pilots and ground troops resisted with arguments familiar from the A-1 era. The A-10 may be outdated and slow, but it can remain in the air for extended periods and carry an enormous amount of weapons. This is precisely what its modern high-speed competitor cannot do in the same extent. This is the timeless lesson of the A1 Skyraider. Speed and modernity are not always the most important factors. In modern warfare, certain things remain unchanged, and so the Able Dog remains not only a piece of military history, but also a blueprint for all aircraft that are meant to succeed it.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.